Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Matthew Causey.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. I'm your host, Matthew Causey. Today we have special guest, Master Deputy Jimmy Watt, the Public Information Officer with the Oconee County Sheriff's Office. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Matthew. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing all right. About yourself?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, definitely. We've got a very important topic to talk about, and that's scams that are going on in the Upstate. There's a lot of those going on right now. Could you go over a couple of those scams that we are seeing at the moment?
Yes, a couple of the scams that we have recently reported on. One of those concerned a law enforcement scam, and kind of the basic details of the scam, a victim or someone would receive a call from someone claiming to be from our agency, and in some cases they would even be using actual employee names. And they would tell the caller or tell the person they were calling that they had missed perhaps a federal grand jury, that a subpoena had been issued, and they had missed a federal grand jury appearance, and that, of course, obviously they were going to be arrested for that. So how they told the victim, I guess, they could perhaps have their charges dropped, would be basically paying like their bond or perhaps sending money to have those charges dropped. So in one of the cases, we know that one of the victims did take some money from a banking account, I presume, went to a business with an ATM. They were given a code. And once they entered that code, then they were able to deposit the money and make the payment through Bitcoin, which is something that actually we're starting to see a little bit more of. And I think a lot of the reason for that, Matthew, is perhaps, digital currency tends to be something that really can't be traced. But we do know that one victim did suffer some financial loss from this particular scam. And then, of course, another scam that we reported on recently concerned Corporal Lucas Watts, who was shot in the line of duty back on November 16th, 2023. And what the basis of that scam was is that someone called claiming to be an employee of the Oconee County Sheriff's Office and asked the victim if they would like to make a donation to Lucas, on behalf of Lucas. And the person, the victim, did give the caller their debit card information, and then realized later on that it could possibly be a scam. So they did call their bank, and what the bank was attempting to do, they were attempting to basically cancel that transaction. But obviously, of course, we do never always recommend that if it's somebody you don't do business with on a normal basis, not to provide any debit card information or any financial account information at all. So those are kind of some of the things that we've been seeing, but obviously, scams are one of those things that is a year-round thing, and unfortunately, sometimes they never seem to stop.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It definitely does seem like that. And it seems like there's a lot of common ones that usually seem to cycle around. So are there other common scams that you tend to see coming around at different times as well, aside from the ones going at the moment?
Yeah, there's, we see, of course, some law enforcement scams, that kind of make the loop, if you will, or make the circle. Obviously, at times we do see what's called grandparent scams, and certainly if you'd like to, we can kind of discuss a lot of these in a little more detail, or even sweepstakes scams. We have seen in the past scams involving the Internal Revenue Service. Just various type of scams that seem to work their way around. And, one thing we always tell in interviews I've done with other media members and also the public as well, don't associate a particular time of the year with a particular scam. Really, we all need to really be on our toes and really paying attention to what's going on. And there's some recommendations, obviously, we can get into to share that, we feel like if you do those things on the front end, there's a lot of times you won't have to deal with some consequences on the back end. So there's a lot of recommendations that we always share, and there seems to be some commonalities between all the scams as well, even though they may focus on some different things.
What are some of those commonalities that you see between those different scams?
Well, scammers have a lot of different weapons. In some scams, what scammers like to do is create a sense of urgency. Because if somebody panics or maybe they get a little bit flustered, they may end up doing some things that they would not normally do in a reasonable situation, if you want to look at it that way. So, for instance, the law enforcement scams that we've talked about, missing a grand jury, missing a subpoena, arrest warrants. We've seen law enforcement scams where victims have gotten calls saying, hey, we recovered a vehicle at the border, and there's some information in that vehicle that is tied directly to you, and we've had a homicide. Maybe drug trafficking or whatever. So you've got outstanding arrest warrants, but you need to pay us in order, and if you do, we'll drop those charges. We see a lot of times in the law enforcement scams, we saw that a lot in the IRS scams. You owe X amount of dollars for back taxes. You don't pay, we're going to arrest you or perhaps sue you. So in those particular type of scams, you kind of see some commonalities there. And then scammers also like to play kind of on your emotions or your heartstrings, if you will. We see that, of course, for example, in the scam we just mentioned involving Corporal Watts. We see that sometimes in the grandparent scams where someone will receive a call from someone and that person claims that they're their grandchild and they've been arrested and they need money to be able to bond out of jail and for attorney fees. And, of course, we know the special relationships that grandparents and grandchildren have. And, the sweetheart scams where somebody online makes contact with somebody and develops a relationship with them and really kind of builds that trust. And, they may tell that person they're communicating with, hey, if you send me some money, I can maybe get a flight or I can come see you and, playing on your emotions, we can be together and things like that. And money is sent and that the victim loses that money, and the person never comes to see them. So, you know, scammers do have a lot of tricks of the trade. Another thing we see a lot of times is requesting payment for a lot of scams via some type of prepaid card or something like that, where, you know, hey, go to the store, buy X amount of dollars of these prepaid cards. We'll stay on the phone with you, or we'll give you a number, and you just supply the number on the back of the card. And once you do that, that money can be taken from a prepaid card. We mentioned that we're starting to see some scams where people may be requesting a payment in Bitcoin. So any type of unusual type of payment that an ordinary business might not take during their course of their businesses, you know, that can be a sure sign of a scam as well. But, you know, there seems to be, in those respects, even though the scams may be a little bit different, there seems to be, as I mentioned, some commonality between a lot of the scams, and that's, you know, some of the things that we do see in quite a few of them, regardless of what they are.
So how can people protect themselves from these scams when they see them coming in? We might not always see exactly what it is, but what are some of those other different kinds of, like, common tells and things that when you encounter these different things that you can recognize, oh, this might be a scam?
Right. Well, one of the things that one of the things that we recommend, and understand, Matthew, that a lot of these things that we talk about with citizens or we share in our news releases, a lot of these are recommendations. And we feel like, you know, once again, and I'll kind of explain the reason why, if you take those approaches on the front end, you save yourself a lot of trouble on the back end. One of the things that we recommend to people is, number one, if someone calls you and you don't recognize the number on caller ID, don't answer the phone. One of the things that people have to realize, and I'll get back to that in a second, is something I want to mention here. You know, scammers are professionals. This is what they do for a living. I've worked in the media before. I work in law enforcement now, obviously. You work in the media as well. So every day you get up and go to your job. Well, you have to understand that scammers are professionals. They are really good at what they do. And one of the things you don't want to do, if you can avoid it, is to deal with them one-on-one. You want to try to avoid that as much as possible. They are pros and they are really good. Well, if you don't recognize the number and you don't answer the phone, one of the advantages to that, of course, is that you may not open yourself up to other scams. But then again, you're not dealing, that scammer has no way of that person-to-person contact with you. It would be something similar as well, recommendation, if you get an email from somebody and it looks suspicious to you. Maybe there's a link, and maybe there's an attachment to that email, and maybe you haven't had a conversation with the person that sent you the email, even if they may be a friend or a family member. But one of the things you can do to kind of avoid some problems is, you know, get in contact with that person. Ask them, hey, I got an email from you. It's got a link or an attachment. Did you actually, send me that email? And, you know, once you click on that attachment or that link, somebody may be able to, get remote access to your computer, or may be able to access some information, download something malicious on your computer, and you don't want that to happen. So that can save you a lot of headache as well. Maybe an instant message on social media. We've seen some of this before. Somebody will say, hey, I'm in some trouble here. I need some money. Can you send me some money? And some money is transferred, but the person who sent the, you know, your friend who you think sent you that instant message, they never did that. So a lot of times an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and taking that extra step or two can save you a lot of headaches. Don't answer the phone if you don't recognize the number. Don't click on links or attachments to any email. Somebody sends you an instant message, you know, get in contact with that person to see if it's legitimate. And by taking that next step, it could prevent you from losing money or maybe even having your personal identifying information or your financial information from being compromised.
Oh, definitely. I know whenever we see these scams going on and whenever we put out information about that, a lot of the times it seems to be phone scams. But there are those different mediums that scammers will try and reach you at, text messages and things like that. How often do we see those different kinds of scam mediums?
Well, I'm not sure I can give you a specific number, but I can say that we have seen scams through those particular mediums, through text messages, instant messages on social media, as you said, through emails or even phone calls. I would say, you know, in my opinion, Matthew, a majority of scams that we see are basically scams that are over the phone, where somebody makes that direct contact with somebody, they get that person off of the phone, and once again, creating that sense of urgency. Or as a matter of fact, you know, trying to play on somebody's emotions or heartstrings, that happens. You know, sometimes we see some scams, technology scams, in which somebody is on their computer and then a message pops up on their computer saying your computer has been hacked. Here's a telephone number to call. The person calls the number thinking they're reaching maybe a technology company. And the person says, hey, you know, your computer's been hacked. If you pay us, then obviously we can correct the problem. Or another thing that we're starting to see recently is the same type of scam in which somebody's on their computer, they see that window popping up, they see that number, and then they call. And the person says, well, your banking account information has been compromised. Your bank will give you a call, and then they receive a call from a person claiming to be from the actual bank that they do business with, saying that, you know, you need to transfer some money to another account or, you know, send us money, whatever the case may be, in order to prevent a financial loss. Once again, it's that creating that sense of urgency. And you've got, you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So you've got one person telling you one thing. You got this person saying another, just creating a lot of confusion, a lot of steps or whatever else. But if you take some of those initial steps right at the beginning, those recommendations, and then understand, you know what, you don't want to deal with these people. These folks are professionals, and what they do is they want to scam you out of their money, your money. They want to take your personal identifying information if they don't have it already. This is what they do, and you just need to really practice these recommendations to really prevent you from becoming a victim. It's amazing to see sometimes what happens, but you can very easily fall victim to a scam if you're not careful. So just really follow those recommendations we offer, and that can save you a lot of headaches in the long run.
So how can individuals report those scams to their local authorities, and what information should they keep in mind and try to remember when reporting? What is the most useful information for authorities when reporting those scams?
Yeah, I think a lot of useful information is, you know, maybe the amount of the financial loss you have suffered. If you've suffered some type of financial loss, if you have maybe an approximate figure of how much you have lost, you know, what type of information has been compromised? You know, was it your driver's license number, your social security number, your birth date? What kind of personal identifying information was compromised? Do you have names of individuals that have contacted you? That's one of the reasons, obviously, besides the fact that it was reported to us in the law enforcement scams we've been dealing with, that's how we knew that actual employee names were being used, because the people who contacted us said, hey, I got a call from this person or that person. Well, that's a legitimate employee. So, you know, the names of people you've contacted. If you have phone numbers, that can be helpful sometimes. But what you find a lot of times, it's been my experience with scammers spoofing numbers, that after a few minutes, if you call that number back, Sometimes it will tell you that the number has been disconnected or no longer in service, but it also could be a person's legitimate number that had no idea this was going on, and they were not part of the scam anyway. This is why it's so important. Once again, if you don't recognize the number, don't answer the phone. If you have banking records, any type of financial records that show that you have suffered loss, make sure to have that information. And another reason why sometimes, Matthew, mention this is, at this point here, if you suffer some type of loss, make sure to, contact us so we can have a report on file if you need that. That report's going to be sent to our fraud investigators. But here's another reason why it's important to follow those recommendations that I mentioned before. A lot of scams, the majority of them occur outside, in Oconee County, for example, outside of our jurisdiction. They occur perhaps elsewhere, maybe other parts of the country, other parts of the world, who knows. So unless we can prove by evidence that the scam originated in our county, prosecution is extremely difficult, very, very tough, if not almost impossible, unless we can prove that it was in our jurisdiction. It doesn't mean we won't take a look into it, but once again, jurisdictional boundaries will come into play. And then secondly, if you do suffer some type of financial loss, say for instance, you read numbers off a prepaid card, once that money is gone, it's probably gone. So the only way that really money or perhaps some type of restitution can take place would be, say for instance, if a bank or a financial company is willing to provide restitution to its customers for the loss that has taken place. But you have to go with the presumption that if I lose $10,000, I may not get that money back, even from my bank or my financial institution. So once again, it's taking those necessary steps at the very beginning to not even open that door, not even crack that door to allow a scammer to get to you. Take those necessary common sense steps at the beginning, once again, can save you a big time headache in the long run. But once again, we do recommend that if you suffer some type of loss, information's been compromised, your best bet, file a report with that local law enforcement agency where you are, where that scam occurred.
Well, is there anything else we haven't touched on that you think is worth mentioning on this topic?
Well, I think we've covered just about everything. And, one thing I would say, Matthew, is, we talked about this earlier, with the fact of perhaps scammers beginning to kind of change the way that, they request payment. We've seen in previous scams a lot of stuff with these prepaid cards. But, I've kind of noticed in some other scams, maybe we're starting to see, I don't know if it's a big turn, I don't know if it's a turn at all, but one thing that caught my eye was making payment through Bitcoin, which I think I've read some media reports and some of the big time computer hacks or whatever that have taken place. A lot of times the folks request payment in Bitcoin. Understand, once again, besides scammers being professionals, really good at what they do, they can always change their tactics. So once again, that's why it's so important to be cognizant and aware of what's going on. And just once again, I hate to sound like a broken record, take those recommendations seriously and follow those recommendations. Any law enforcement agency will, I don't know if anyone would ever tell you that a law enforcement agency can prevent crime from occurring 100% of the time. We can't do that. But I've always felt like in my mind that the protection of my money, my personal identifying information, property, or whatever else, I'm kind of that first line of defense. So if I'm taking these necessary steps, I'm not answering the phone if I don't recognize the number. If an email looks suspicious, delete it. If you get it from a friend, instant message, call somebody, knowing that if somebody requests payment in the form of an unusual form of payment, you know, basically I know that's going to be a scam. Just those necessary steps at the beginning can once again save you from a lot of problems on the back end of things. So just be aware, scammers are pros once again, but the bottom line is that they can always change their tactics, and they're really good at that. So if you need law enforcement, call us, get that report done, but save yourself some headaches on the back end and follow the recommendations that we have shared.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much for coming on, and hopefully our discussion here can help listeners be more aware of all these dangerous scams out there.
Well, Matthew, I'm grateful to you for the opportunity today, and thank you for sharing this vital information with your listeners, and I hope that, like you, what we've shared today can go a long way to, help people, to prevent people from becoming a victim of a scam. We sure hope so, but thank you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. This has been Focus on the Upstate. I'm Matthew Causey, and I'll see you all again next week.
Thank you for listening to Focus on the Upstate with Matthew Causey. If you'd like more information on today's topic, email focusontheupstate@odyssey.com.